morning and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Nation, His kingdom, His people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. Good morning, folks. How are you?
Boy, it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, isn't it?
It is, Mr. Rogers.
Yes.
It is kind of a beautiful day.
Yes, it is.
You know, we've been having some nice weather. Hey, Gus, speak again for me, would you?
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so maybe. So do you hear yourself pretty good?
I don't know. We're working on it.
There you go. I can hear you better now when you get a little closer to that mic there.
I feel like a guinea pig.
You are a good guinea pig.
I
kind of
look like one.
That's why we like it, because you're a good tech man. And yes. You're trying something new out. We're trying a new little headset out for us. Hey, why don't you speak to us again? Like, what is our statement of the day?
Oh, our statement of the day, that's a challenge. Obviously, I mean, guys, obviously, we know more than Yahweh.
Oh, that's almost blasphemic, I think.
Oh, that is definitely scary.
Dude, say that again. Is there anyone listening to Gus? And you need to correct this boy, like, right now.
Obviously, we, and we'll define who we is, know more than Yahweh.
Whoa. Those are...
Obviously, guys. I mean, look around you.
Dude, doesn't that make you feel uncomfortable just a little bit? Like,
I'm just kind of getting... Yeah, I'm just kind of moving here,
wiggling in your
back
chair
and forth, and trying to just, I'm having a little hard time swallowing that one.
I don't know, I think there's an element of truth within there, because,
well,
you ever get thinking that maybe God's not doing things right? I mean, Yahweh's just not doing things right. I mean, according to what you see and around you, couldn't he, I mean, he should do it as good as what you think he should do it.
Well, you mean he's not doing it my way?
I did it my way.
Man, great minds think like mine.
Oh, I know. Great minds think like mine. But that, you know, even that, there's a statement of truth in that, right? Obviously.
Uh-huh.
So we look around us, it's obvious. We, who's we got to define that one, know. We are intimate. We have the knowledge to be able to do more, to know more, to make things happen, to understand things more than the creator of the universe.
Hmm.
Really?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Really?
You know,
No, go ahead. Man, I mean...
Just in case you think we're wrong, okay, we're going to take you down a challenging path this morning. We're going to actually look at the world that was in Noah's day. How did they think that they knew more than God? And then we're also going to take a look at the people that were with Moses. How did they know? And guess what? We're going to even jump right into the New Testament, and we're going to deal with a young little pastor by the name of Timothy and how he thought that maybe he knew more than his mentor, Paul.
Timmy. He's so cute, little Timmy.
So we're going to wrestle with some of these things, and then we're going to ask ourselves some questions. Is there times where you think your problems are too big for God, and you're going to handle it yourself? And you know what? From what you see and what you see around you in this world of yours, there's just not room for Yahweh anymore. And, you know, and where is Yeshua anyways? He said he died for you, and yet things just seem to keep happening.
You know, that New Testament thing, that's 2,000 years old. Where is he? What's going on?
What is going on? So that's where we're going to delve into today. And but before we get started, we have a tradition with the wise guys, and I think it's a wonderful tradition.
Mm.
And we like to open up with prayer.
We need to dedicate this time to our King. Father, we are humbled that you've called us, Father. We didn't seek you, but you called us. And I just thank you for the hope that we have as your people. Knowing, Father, that and asking you for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven today. And Father, we do thank you. We thank you for all your abundant blessings that you came to give us life and to give us more abundant. Help that to be true in each one of us today. Help us to have that blessed assurance, Father, that your kingdom is coming and your will in each one of us is being fulfilled. Father, we don't want our own will today. We want your will. Bless our time together today. May our Father guide our thoughts and strengthen us with a passion ready to walk again with you today. That your name through each one of us would be glorified and that we would be again strengthened as we meet together today. In Yeshua's holy name, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So before we get going down that road of statement again, let's just do a little house stuff.
Housekeeping?
So like if you want to call in for us today and you want to be part of the conversation, how do we do that, guys?
503-589-1220.
It's different than what's on the advertisement for the stuff because
that's the old number. We haven't changed it yet.
Well, the wise guys have our own little number that you can call in on.
Yes, we do.
Which is
503-589-1220.
Right on. And so you can become part of the conversation. Gus, how do they also reach us if they want to tell us to change topics?
They want to tell us to, and then there's this pause. Whatever you want to tell us to, the number 3 wiseguys@hebrewnation.net. That's our email address, and we love getting those emails asking us, hey, why don't you talk about this, or you're all wet on that, or here's my view on the other thing.
Right. Or if you're in your car and you just want to listen via the radio, you can call this number, 605-562-9746. Put that in your favorites, 605-562-9746. And you can hear it wherever you're at. If you have a cell signal, you can hear the whatever's going on. The Wise Guys on Tuesday mornings from 8 to 10 or any of the other Hebrew Nation shows going out 24/7 throughout the week.
I really like that because on the spur of the moment, I could just dial it and hear.
Right.
Somebody will, you know, text me and say, hey, you know, such and such, Cole Davis is on or whatever, and I can pop on and listen real quick.
Yeah, so do what Rick's doing with you right now. He's sharing it with you because you're a friend, and you need to share it with other friends.
Yeah, people, hey, let's listen to this. You need to listen to this. And you know, well, who does it? The Spirit does the rest.
Right.
You know, either, you know, we're truth seekers, and if it's not for somebody, they'll turn it off.
Sure.
So,
but at least share.
At least,
make an effort.
We're supposed to love our neighbors, right?
This
is a neighborhood, isn't it? One of us started off.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
You should be my neighbor.
Yeah, I know, right? I think there is something to that. I mean, when you think about it, Abraham, the father Abraham and his sons, he's, you know, many people claim him. The Christian church claims him.
The father of our faith.
The Hebrews, the Israel and Muslims, they all claim him. And he was known for his hospitality and sharing the truth about the God that he served.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what? Why don't you share like how Abraham shared and get it out there?
Yes. I mean, hey, we have the antidote. We know the Mashiach, the Messiah.
Died for us.
He died 2,000 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So not just we can just have life, but we can have it more abundant.
Yep.
And we just want to live until our work is complete. No more, no less. We just want to be, hear those wonderful words, well done. What is it if we gain the whole world, but not finish well? It'd be all, it's like King Shlomo Solomon said, it'd be chasing of the wind.
But I know more than God. I know more than Yahweh.
Yeah.
So therefore,
that's what a lot of people think.
So I'm going to be real picky and choosy on who I'm going to share things with. Notice both of these guys just look at me
a little speechless.
Oh, I'm waiting to see where you're going. I guess, you know, that would prompt me to jump right into the Word.
Yes.
Like maybe
beginning?
You kind of after the beginning a bit, actually.
Oh, after the beginning.
I'm going to change my M.O. here. Shoftim, Judges.
Judges.
Okay.
17:6. In those days, that was back then.
Oh,
not
I know
today,
that one. I love it.
there was no king in Israel. Mm-hmm. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes.
Mm. I know more than God.
Mm.
I know more than the people he's put above me. You know, I know more than...
Probably everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I don't need to meet with those people. I'm just here and walking day by day, and I don't really need anybody else.
My faith is kind of a private thing.
You know, that's what the enemy really wants you to believe. He really does. You'll fall right into his hands when you think that you can do it alone, that you don't need anybody or you don't need a God, and you're going to find out one day. Even if you don't realize it.
I was laughing about that for a moment because I've been down that road myself.
You shared that.
Okay, and it doesn't work out very well.
No.
I mean, it truly doesn't.
Yeah. I can only imagine that.
I can only imagine. Boy, someone else wrote about that. It wasn't just the Christian song, I Can Only Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. No religion to...
Oh, now you're going back to Lennon now.
Yeah. He imagined what it'd be like to be without God.
Well,
Yeah, it's kind of interesting where the UN sang that. Do you know that? They actually sang that together? That song?
It doesn't surprise me. It really does not surprise me. Because, see, if you can throw God out of it, just like Gustus read... Everyone's just doing what's right in their own eyes. See, there's no accountability. Mm-hmm. Heaven forbid I have to be accountable to a God that sent his son that tells me how to live.
So you'd also have to listen to advice, maybe?
You have to adjust, don't you?
Mm.
And heaven forbid I can't lead my life the way I see fit.
But if I listen to advice, Rick, that means I might be wrong. And I want to be right.
Yeah,
we all want to be right.
You know, I think one of the reasons why, you know, let's just kind of talk to people here right now, why we started to go down this road today. Mm-hmm. We were all, at least myself, I was impressed by an article that I'd read. It was Bill Cloud had actually read it. My mom actually sent me the article. And it was talking about the current climate and where people are going to where right now we seem to have a large section of people in the House that
the House of Representatives?
Yes. That seem to want to bypass laws, and they seem to want to take God out of the picture, and they want to do it their own way. And it's kind of disturbing. I mean, we're seeing it right in front of our eyes. We're seeing a country that was based on a republic or a democracy be moved towards a socialist ideology.
Well, even where you brought up republic or democracy, it was a republic.
Yes,
it was. No doubt about it.
Yes.
And it moved to democracy, which is moving towards socialism,
yes,
right?
You got it. And where people are wanting to be without God, one of the things that really struck me on the last State of the Union was when a group of women were booing and hissing when Trump was saying that the life of the unborn was important. And that struck me to the core. I mean, it really struck me. And I went to what you just went to, Gus, with the judges thing. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. I have the right to do what I want to do with my own body. Not realizing the statement of, well, that's a body within your body. So what gives you the right to kill that baby? And even now we're moving to the point of, well, if the baby comes out, we can still kill the baby.
Wow, now that's...
Well, and if the baby gets old enough, in fact, if the baby grows to an older age and they're not productive, in fact, now we can take their life at that end, too, because of euthanasia.
Well, boy, right. It just never ends, does it?
So it is disturbing, this you know, you might have cringed when Gus started the statement off this morning, I know more than God.
But I didn't say I said we, because I wanted to be we.
I didn't want to be alone.
Don't single me out. I'm looking for that lightning bolt.
I know. It's even hard to say, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we have a hard time saying it, but people are actually saying it right now in our world. So what do we do with that statement?
No.
And where are we with that statement?
Yep.
So we're going to go down this path. We're going to explore Noah. We're going to explore Moses. We're going to explore Timothy, little Tim, and the struggles he was going through at the church. And we're going to ask you to be part of the conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do we combat this? What do we do with this? Or do we join along with We know more than God.
Well, and can we be united in our individual freedom or our perception of what freedom should look like? Can we still unite in that United States, America, you know, we got to be free? Well, what does that really mean in conjunction with all this? Because I look at Proverbs or Mishlei 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise.
Say that again, because I think I love that text. I used to, when I was raising my kids, I used to always repeat it. Sorry. Go ahead.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise. Or the GSV, the Gus Standard Version. Hey, I'm a fool if I think I got to be right about everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should listen to somebody else and consider other people's opinions and the truth.
Okay, state the Gus Revised Standard Version again.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty much right about everything, and I don't think I'm a fool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rephrase it. But if I listen to somebody else, I'm probably going to have to admit that I'm wrong, and I don't want to be wrong. I'm going to be right about everything.
You know, yeah, that takes me to Isaiah 11.
Isaiah 11.
So let's look that up, because I just love this thing, and I think it's going to take us into Little Tim, and then maybe we can go the other place. Where is Isaiah, anyways?
Isaiah.
There it is. Yeah, I'm, you know, flipping through this old Bible. In fact, I had a student of mine said, Robin, why don't you get a new Bible? It's a mess.
No, I think you better just get yours rebound.
I know.
You know, and you'd be happy you did.
It's in Isaiah 11, and many times people will look at this, and it actually talks about Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. And the Spirit of Yahweh will rest on him. The Spirit of what?
Wisdom
and?
Understanding.
The Spirit of?
Counsel.
And of strength. Now, to me, it's amazing. Counsel has to do with surrounding yourself, I think, with people that can give advice.
Yes.
Okay? I know, like, one of the things that our own, like, we have a fellowship within Silverton. We keep a board of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
People that we say things to us so we don't go down our own paths. And I wonder many times, do we do that even amongst our own friendship circle? Do we take time to do that with a friendship circle?
We definitely should. I think, you know.
Like, do you have a friend that gives you spiritual advice?
Oh, yeah. Or when I'm, you know, when I'm down, I need help, prayer or something. Yeah, somebody you can confide in. You need at least one person that you can confide in to take your, you know, to share your struggles with. And we all have different struggles, don't we?
Well, I agree with that, and I'd even go farther to say that you have to be have a relationship where you're safe in being told that you aren't right. Somebody that stands up
exactly
to you, dude,
that'll tell you
off base
to tell you the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts.
Yeah, I love you, man, but no, you're going sideways.
Yeah, you gotta, and I'll be praying with you that you'll be able to adjust what you're doing, or
you know, just so you know, I've always wondered, you know, where all those New Testament letters come into play, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you go, well, why are these letters being written? And as I looked at it, it was with this counsel and wisdom thing, I think. You know, Paul was writing to some of the people that were learning under him, and the apostles were writing to others, and they were encouraging and they were teaching, because there were many people like Timothy and some of these others that were starting to question some things.
Of course.
Like, where is God? You know? My mentor, teacher, Paul, he's in prison, he's in chains, maybe I should leave, maybe I should quit believing. And we're going to explore these things too, that when Moses went up on the mountaintop, and the people saw him leave, and he wasn't there anymore, they were thinking, well, where did Moses go? Maybe we need to follow a different path.
Well, you know,
I'm going to love looking at this stuff today.
Well, you know what's amazing? I heard one of the teachers, he said, when they made this calf, they said, this is a celebration to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Do we do some kind of some of the same things? Just a question, you know, with some of our Christian holidays.
Mm-hmm. So we'd make up things to replace.
Yeah,
something,
to replace with this. We're going to make this. We're going to bring this in, and we're going to make this part of our celebration of his birth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I don't know, is there any difference? Just some questions, you know. I don't know if we even want to go there right now.
We are offending people from the start to the finish already.
Oh,
right.
That's all right.
I mean, obviously we know more than Yahweh. Yeah. Hey, you guys that are
just some things, just some things to think about. Yeah. You know, what we're doing, you know. And all we want to do is be pleasing in our Creator's sight, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We just want to, you know, I know we have a long way to go. But, you know.
Well, I know.
We're all works in progress, Gus.
Yeah, his eyes are rolling.
It's the, oh man, see if I can spit this out quick enough. The, propensity for each one of us to say, if I am accountable to the word, if I have to be accountable, I have to change my behavior.
You have to adjust some things, don't you?
I want to be in my habit. I'm just used to my whatever it is habit.
I'm comfortable in my salvation.
I'm really comfortable here.
I'm really, you know, comfortable with it. But
we might be comfortable until there's something that comes up. Okay?
Right.
So that's what I want to get to, because the world was pretty comfortable till Noah gave them a message. Israel was pretty comfortable until Moses didn't show up. The New Testament church was pretty comfortable till they started experiencing hardship, and their leader Paul was put in chains, and the Messiah was put to death. Let me read something here to you. This is in 2 Timothy, and then hopefully we'll get back on track here. Okay? And this is in this is 2 Timothy, or 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy.
2 Timothy. I didn't know there were more than one Timothy out there. It must have been twins.
Therefore, in verse 8, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Messiah or of me as his prisoner. Now, there's two things coming across here. Remember, Jesus, Yeshua, has died. He hasn't been around for a little while, for about, you know, 20 years, 30 years here. Maybe some are saying 40 or years. And they're starting to wonder where he is. Where's his power? And then Paul, which is a follower of Yeshua, gets imprisoned. So he writes to Timothy and says, hey, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Messiah or of me, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, Yahweh, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, for all eternity. For now has been revealed by the appearing of the Messiah, who abolished death and brought life and immortality light through the gospel, for which I was appointed as a preacher, and as an apostle, and as a teacher. For this reason, I'm suffering. And I'm going to put in Rollins' version, for this reason, Timothy, I'm suffering these things, but I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until that day. So retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith, and love which is in Messiah. He's reminding Timothy that he's not ashamed. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Timothy, you don't need to be ashamed. Step up, okay? This is still going to work for you, and I want you to listen to what I have to say. And he starts writing this letter in 2 Timothy, which to me is astounding. And 2 Timothy to me is just like our present day world. We're surrounded by people who are questioning the very existence of God. And Paul steps in and goes, don't question it.
Well, and you know what's amazing? Right prior, and if you back up to verse 7, we all heard this. For Elohim has not given us a spirit of fear. Paul's in chains now.
Yes.
Has not given, but a power and love and a sound mind.
Yes.
Wow, I mean, he's being able to write this. I mean, this is supernatural stuff, guys.
Yeah.
Being enchained, you know, for his wife, because he believes and he shares the good news.
And he shared it for a reason. People are leaving the church, and we're going to go back and see why. Hang on tight.
Shadow of death to the light. You're listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. We're going to test something here with Gus, man. Hey, Gus, speak.
Okay, right now you should hear me.
Rough. Good. And go up. Keep on talking. No, I can't hear you. Good job.
Oh, that works great. You, too, can be guinea pigs with the three wise guys this morning by calling 503-589-1220
and be part of the conversation. We are talking about what, guys?
Well, you know, we know so stinking much that we must know more than anyone out there. All of you, I know more than you guys.
Yes.
And I must know more than the Creator because obviously I got all the answers, right? That's the way society looks at us. We say this tongue-in-cheek. We don't. Mm-hmm. It makes us very uncomfortable to even say the words.
Yeah, I know.
But isn't that what we see going on around us and we've seen in history?
Yeah. It isn't just what we see. I think it's what we feel without really knowing it.
Hmm.
Okay, which is why
how we feel without really knowing it.
Thank you. Like we started to read 2 Timothy, okay?
Uh-huh.
And Paul's advice to young Timmy who's in charge of the church, okay? Why is Paul writing him this letter? Okay, so let me go on here for another verse. This is in chapter 1, verse 15, 2 Timothy, or 2 Timothy. And he goes, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. Among them are Phygellus and Hermogenes." Those are Greek names. Those are who in the world named these people?
Why isn't it just Bob?
Yeah.
And Bob said to Bill, wouldn't that be a lot easier?
And then in verse 16, let's see if any of you guys can say this name. "The Lord grant me mercy to the house of Onesiphorus,
yes.
For he often refreshed me, and he was not ashamed of my chains." Now notice the whole thing that he's talking to Timothy about is there's a feeling that Timothy might be ashamed that Paul's in prison. He might be embarrassed.
Well, do you think maybe I'm next?
He could
think
be.
He thought been thinking about that?
Yeah.
You know?
So when I say we don't know we're ashamed, or we think we know more than God, what happens to us when we get a trial comes our way, like the early church, the trial came their way, the Messiah had died, miracles were starting to come up short, and Paul is in prison. Okay? So now let's put it on today. Where is God? Most of the people in our world are saying there is no God. Miracles are coming up short. And we're too ashamed to stand up and say, "I believe." Okay? Now you put this on with the 2 Timothy. We have all of Asia is leaving Paul and the message. And there's two key pastors that are leaving. And he's reminding Timothy not to be ashamed by bringing up some other guy who wasn't ashamed. Okay? And he says, we're all sticking together.
Right.
Do you see where this is going? And what I mean by is that maybe we think we're so smart that maybe we shouldn't follow God because we're thinking that maybe we know better than God. Why isn't God rescuing Paul from the chains? Why isn't God giving us miracles? Why isn't he fixing the problem in the church or fellowship?
Roland, it's obvious. I mean, the guy's suffering. Who wants suffering, right?
Right.
We know what's right.
We do. We shouldn't have to suffer.
Well, Yeshua says, in this world, there will be tribulation. But be of good cheer. See? It's not if there's tribulation. There will be. And it's the day. See, I think that's the beauty, Roland, of knowing that you know who you serve, and even if it's not going right for me, you know, to have walked this enough.
Yeah.
I think our elders that have ones that have been walking many, many decades in the faith, I think that's where sometimes we need to glean the perception they have.
So receive their counsel and wisdom?
Receive their counsel. See, I mean, I understand. Sometimes
but I don't want
to. I know. It's always about me. But, you know, the eldership, and when you're young, I think, oh, they're just a bunch of, you know, you don't have that perception, do you, when you're really young?
Yeah.
Especially a teenager, young adult. You just don't, oh, they're just old. Mm-hmm. Old man.
Well, you know the saying, right, guys?
What's the saying?
You know, when you're a teenager, like, once you leave home, well, you'll still know everything. Because once you get out in the world, you realize you don't know everything. And as we, three gray-haired guys here, start talking about this stuff, we all have shared in the past how, as we get older, we realize how little we really do know, even though compared to when we started off, we got more understanding.
But there's a whole vast...
The world keeps growing. The amount of information in Yahweh keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, to the point where we are just making ourselves smaller and smaller as we understand this.
Well, I think that's where the word humbles us in a good way, because it makes us realize that on our best day, it's all Him. The best we have, the best righteousness we have is all filthy rags compared to His righteousness. See, His word is humbling to us, and it makes us really realize it is all about what the Messiah did. It really, but yeah, when I was young, you guys, I got to confess.
And Messiah suffered.
Bet he suffered. And He says, you will too.
Yeah.
It doesn't say if, it says you. If you live long enough, you will suffer.
I want to hear this confession.
Yeah.
Oh, now, I thought you were supposed to forget about that.
No, I used to
think that, you know, that, you know, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm blessed the way I am. I have, man, and boy. It kind of embarrasses me to think that I really believed that at one time.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as I've walked another lot of decades, I don't just leave it there, I realize it's all Him. It's all of His righteousness. It's because I still have to fight those thoughts. You ever just get an off-the-wall thought? So where did this come from? See? And it might be the place you're at, or, you know, what we've allowed to go under our eye gates.
But those aren't off the wall thoughts. I mean, Rick, you ever thought to yourself, oh, okay, I got this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got.
But then something shakes you, and then you think, well, maybe, following Yeshua, or following Jesus, God, doesn't work for me anymore. It doesn't work because He's not answering my prayers. I'm not seeing any miracles. Everyone around me is saying there isn't anything wonderful.
Or maybe it even goes the direction of, hey, I backed out of the driveway and I ran over my cat. It was raining and I got a flat tire and the world sucks around me. It's really, really bad. And how do we talk to the creator of the universe in that instance? Do we say, you know, it's really bad. I need some help so I can be more comfortable. Or are there other ways to speak to Him similar to this week's Torah portion? Where we see Moshe actually entreat the creator of the universe while He's up on Mount Sinai.
He challenges.
He asks a question that just seems out of left field, frankly.
And what was that question again?
Well, let me just go there. If we go to Exodus, or Shemot 32, and while you're turning, I get to the verse.
Exodus, isn't that the second book in the Bible?
Second.
It is.
Yeah. Genesis is
the second.
Yeah, so if you're new to this thing, I mean, you just got to, there's titles.
It's the second one. Exodus or Shemot 32:11.
Okay.
But Moshe sought the favor of Yahweh, his Elohim. And O Yahweh, he said, why should your anger burn against your people? I'm going to stop there for a second.
Why is he angry?
A minute. He's up on Mount Sinai.
Yeah.
And what happens? The people are doing what?
Hey, you said, hey, you're people are doing wickedness. That's what he told Moshe. They made the golden calf. They took their earrings and all their jewelry and formed this golden calf.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, your people are doing, get down there. And
there's
he says,
really
I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to make your, you know.
There's some really interesting dynamics there, first of all, because the Creator's telling Moshe, your people who you brought out of Egypt, I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Me?
I thought, yeah, we brought him out. You know? So there's like this, almost this distancing.
Yeah.
And then he has a couple of times where scripture there says, and Yahweh said. And then, and Yahweh said. Well, why does the word have to say, well, he said? He's already speaking.
Yeah.
Well, that's because it's almost like it's a judge saying, okay, here's what you've been charged of.
Mm-hmm.
You built this golden calf. Okay, you are a stiff-necked people. I'm tired of you.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, Moshe, you just go ahead and leave me now. I'm gonna roast them. I'm gonna get rid of them, and I'll start over.
Moshe. Yeah, and I'll make you the.
And so think about the predicament there. And isn't this? I'm trying to draw this back to our conversation on what goes on today when we're not seeing the Creator in things around us, or it seems like He's actually against us.
Mm-hmm.
What would Moshe do? I mean, think about it. You're in his spot. You're up on the top of Mount Sinai. You got all these people down below. There's like a million of them. They just started this, they built this golden calf, and he's saying, leave me so I can get rid of them. You don't want to leave. So get rid of them. It's like, oh, shoot, if I leave, this happens. So I got to stay here, but what can I say? I mean, do I say, gee, we're really sorry?
So what did Moses say?
He says, why does your anger burn against your people? Doesn't that seem like the last thing you would think you'd say to the Creator of the universe? It's obvious. But, why?
Well, there's so many facets of that.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about it, okay, if Yahweh brought them out of Egypt, okay.
We know He did.
And He told Moses that He was going to have to train up this people. I would think, as a father, I'd be thinking, well, God, you knew what kind of people you were bringing out. Okay, and you know we're going to have to train these people up, so what's with the anger stuff?
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, it's not like you pulled out a perfect people, okay?
You already told us we were a little tiny people, we're stubborn, and we're still back.
Yeah.
So what, this is a surprise to you?
Yeah, right.
Boy, they!
Shoot, come on!
Yeah.
Okay, and then there's the other aspect, right? I mean, if you were to destroy them, what would that look like to everyone who knew about them coming out of the nation?
You brought your people out of Egypt in the wilderness to destroy them.
Just to kill them.
And, you know, and He brought His promise. He said, I would make you a great nation.
So Moshe uses Yahweh's own words.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of things, like you just said, guys, there's a lot of things here to, you know, dig through. But He uses His own words rather than human stuff. Well, yeah, they aren't so bad. And I know this one guy down there is pretty good, so don't roast. No, it wasn't that. It was, hey, listen, you brought him out. What is the world going to think if you take him out and then you get rid of him?
Yeah.
What about those promises? You know, we have some forefathers here, Abraham, Yitzhak, you know, et cetera. What about those promises?
I don't think... You know, there's the other aspect that I'm thinking about this is that these people had a really good chance to understand the blood of the Messiah yet. I don't think they had a really good chance because the sanctuary still had not really been formulated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And having to go through the idea of keeping the lamb and sacrificing the lamb and seeing your sins being burnt up on the altar, they hadn't had a chance to experience that yet. And they're about ready to experience that. And Moses is strong enough, I think, to stand up and challenge the Lord and say, hey, this, why are you angry? They still haven't been taught. I want to read something to you in Timothy again.
Oh, little Timothy. I love to hear a little Timothy.
Are you ready?
I am.
Yeah. So Paul reminds Timothy, for men, this is in chapter 3, men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy. Was that the people of Moses' time?
Kind of sounds like
when they built the calf.
Yeah. Yep.
Unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips. Without self-control, they're brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the form of godliness. Whoops. Holding to the form of godliness, that means we're going to make a fake God like a little golden calf, but not worshiping God. Although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. For among them are these who enter into households and captivate weak women weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses.
But they weren't so bad.
But I mean, listen in verse 8. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men of a depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. How do I get faith?
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word.
And hearing by doing.
Right.
Okay, Israel still hadn't had a chance to do. They hadn't had a chance to experience the promise of the blood of the Messiah. I don't know, do you think I'm going somewhere weird with this?
No, but I think they did get it the first time around. Maybe it just hadn't sunk it in. Because put the blood above the doorpost and...
Yeah, but that was once.
Well, that's my point. That's once, but, I mean, how many times do you need to see the Red Sea parted? How many times?
Once, twice, three times a lady.
If it's something big and huge and it's negative, don't we take lessons from that? Don't we remember that in our minds really well?
Yeah.
So do we not listen to the positive things? Do they just go away and today's rewards become tomorrow's expectations?
Is that a word of wisdom coming from a wise guy? Or,
I don't know.
Or are we quoting that?
No, it just came up.
I think it's right.
That's what I was just, I had my grandkids the last 4 days.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
And I says, why do we read this book?
Because you told us to, Grandpa.
No. So I says, why do we need to know history? Why do we need to know? I says, we need to know it because we need to learn from the ones that did it right,
mm-hmm.
and learn from the ones that didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't know history, what are we destined to repeat it? So I says, nobody ever told me that when I was in my history class. I wish somebody would have told me that. Because I just said, as a, you know, rebellious teenager, why do we need to, I don't care what these people did back then.
Mm.
Nobody ever told me that as a teenager, young person.
So what's the history of these people confronting Moses and also the same people in Timothy's church?
Well, yeah, it sounds a lot like, though, today, what we're dealing with today.
Yeah. Revilers.
Yes. Arrogance. Everything. Yeah. Lovers of themselves.
I know more than money. God.
Yeah. I know more than everybody. It sounds just like we are dealing with today. I know it's going to get a lot worse. We know it has to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
But we got to know these things must come on the earth. But take courage. Be of good cheer. Because our Mashiach, our Savior, Yahweh, Yeshua, has overcome the world. See, and that's why we have to know this word. And when our teachers start to get the little cattywampus, we gotta look and say, well, teacher, what about this?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and we gotta hold one another accountable. Because we do get a little off base sometimes, don't we? And we gotta pull each other back. That's why.
I haven't heard cattywampus in like... forever.
Sorry.
No, I love it. Cattywampus. I mean, that's like direction without direction.
Just getting at a speed wobble.
Yeah.
You know? Stay out of that speed wobble.
Direction without directions. You know,
let's stay there for just a second because, you know, that's a Scottish thing.
Cattywampus.
Cattywampus.
Is
it? Comes from wampish or to wiggle or twist or swerve about. Just like what you
just
speed
said. Wobble.
Exactly. So that's where it comes from.
Okay.
Scottish.
Yeah.
Well, I'm seeing two people right now who are not being cattywampusy.
Really?
Which are you seeing?
I'm seeing Moses not being a cattywampus because he's standing up and interceding for
Israel. He is the advocate. He is the mediator between the people and our Heavenly Father.
And he's not making excuse for him.
He's not making excuses.
No, he's not making an excuse.
And I'm seeing Paul not being cattywampus because he's helping little Tim, reminding Tim that he needs to suffer and he needs to bring these people along.
Even though he is in chains, he can still say, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind.
Yes.
Even in chains, he could say that, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That is supernatural stuff.
Hey, what if we add one more?
Yeah. What?
Let's go back.
Even further.
Oh, yeah, I love going back. I like going back, too. What about that guy, Noach?
Noach.
Yeah. Who is Noach?
Oh, he's this dude that he's, you know, like hanging out with a bunch of his peeps, you know, and his family and stuff.
Yeah.
And
making a boat for like 100 years.
This big voice guy says, hey, build a boat. What?
Why?
Build a boat.
It's never rained. Why did we,
build a boat? Yeah, in fact, it's going to take you a little while. It's going to take you, I don't know, 100 days, was it?
100 years.
100 years, that's right. 100 years.
Do you think he got mocked a little bit?
He might have got.
You think
mocked.
He got laughed at?
Yeah, probably.
Well,
what is that, anyways? A boat?
What is an ark? This big boat, this big ark, which just kind of an interesting tie into Moshe. You know, the only other place really a boat's talked about in the Torah?
Help us out.
Moses and the little
and he gets rescued rock, by
the rock, oh, the little ark, a little
yeah,
ark.
Yeah. Kind of an interesting
sealed with pitch
in.
And the same thing the ark was.
Rock.
Yep. So here's this guy, and he hears a voice. And the voice says, build a boat, a big boat, really, really big boat. And it's going to take a really long time. And can you imagine his backyard? You know, cars are driving by, and here's this arch. It gets bigger and bigger. You know,
what's this
the
guy
news
doing?
Is stopping, and the cameras are rolling. You're like, crazy man downtown, Mesopotamia is building this thing. So he builds his boat, right? But he sticks to it. He wins the race, and he finishes, and we're all here because of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the world was in chaos. The same word, once again, that, well, I don't know, once again, but it's the same word that is used in Torah for the people at the base of Mount Sinai. It's this chaotic.
Revilers.
Revilers, yes.
Which is the same word Paul uses to Tim.
Same word Paul uses, and then let's just take a look around today.
We have revilers.
Hmm. What are some examples? I mean, come on. People are just trying to live decent lives.
How many people are afraid to stand up that I actually believe? We have, there, where do you want to start on that?
The beginning. Just start anything. Just give me examples. I mean, come on. You know, well, people are just saying it's way worse than it is.
Way worse. I mean, we saw in the House, like what we were talking before on the public State of the Union, people mocking the life of people. And they were celebrating.
Child.
They were celebrating their own lives that were alive, and then not even celebrating World War II vets or downed officers. They were booing those.
And when he made a stand for life, what did they do? Yeah. They mocked that.
Yeah,
I mean the little infant, you know, New York and Virginia just said it's okay to allow a little infant to be born alive and then take its little life.
There is no God.
I mean,
if
you will do that to his most innocent, he'll do it to anything or anybody.
Yeah.
If your heart is that cold, think about it.
I've actually had to, I mean, I used to really like watching movies and stuff.
I know, I can't take too many.
I'm having a really hard time finding even a good one because the mockery towards God, the mockery towards church believers, the mockery towards husbands and men.
Family.
Men are making them look like bimbos.
Yeah,
you know?
Cool.
Yeah, making them look
okay,
like.
Okay, sorry, sidetracked. But no, you asked.
No, but it's true.
You're absolutely right, and we see that all around us, and there's more and more of it. How is it not like those days? Whether it's at the base of Mount Sinai, whether it's with Timothy and the problems in the church here, whether it's back when Noah was there.
And it says in Matthew 24, it will be like it was
in
the days of Noah.
So what do we do about it?
Are we living those days? We got a ways to go, but it's getting closer, isn't it?
Well, and you're absolutely asking the right question. What do we do about it so that it makes a difference in our life this week moving forward?
How do we apply it?
This hour.
Because I think we've established that we all have a problem. There's a problem in our present world of thinking that we know more than God. Would we say we've established some of that?
I think so.
No doubt about it.
Okay. So now what do we do? How do we recorrect that attitude? What do we start looking for? Maybe we can find some answers in scriptures. Maybe you want to be part of the conversation. This next hour, we need to really open this up and have you guys call in.
We need you.
503-589-1220.
503-589-1220.
That's right. And you can become part of the conversation. Can this be remedied? Maybe we're stuck with it. Maybe.
No, it could. Well, but you know what I love? He always has his remnant. And I don't know about you guys.
Where do you find that?
Several places.
No. I'm not talking about scripture. Where do you find those kind of people?
Oh, the remnant, you mean? They're scattered about. They're around. And we all know them. And because if you didn't know them, you wouldn't probably be listening to this, unless you're one of the new ones that are, Father, just keep listening, you know?
Yeah.
And just check it out. Shalom.
Good morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Nation, His kingdom, His people, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. Never got that before, Gus. I mean, Gus is still playing around with some of the latest technology that we've
pulled around here.
Ooh, that's kind of a nice sound.
Yeah, that is a good sound.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bing Crosby here.
What do we leave off with? How do we remedy
what are we going to do about this
direction that we're going? You have any thoughts, you guys?
Well, you mentioned the solution, I'm sure.
Did we?
Turn to the Word.
Where
do we have examples?
The Word is our hope. He is how we navigate through this mess.
Let's see if you line up with Paul. 2 Timothy, the little Tim again that he's talking to.
Okay,
let's turn to little Timothy.
2 Timothy 3. Let's see if he's in line with what you guys are talking about.
Timothy, where are you, little Timothy?
Timothy Titus.
Timothy's so small he keeps scooting by here. There he is.
After Paul had talked to him about in chapter 3 about how the world's going to be having all these people that are revilers and lovers of self, down in verse 14 he says, "You, however, Timothy, continue the things you've learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." Who is that from? Yeah. "And that from childhood you've known the sacred writings," the what?
The holy scriptures, the writings? The set apart.
Yes.
Oh, was that before the New Testament?
I think it was. When he wrote this, there was no New Testament yet. So
interesting.
Yeah. In the beginning.
Okay. So that from child you've known the sacred writings, which are able to give you what? Wisdom. That leads to salvation through faith, which is in the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
All scripture.
Now listen, this is the key right here.
Is inspired by Yahweh.
All scripture?
And profitable for what? Teaching.
Doctrine.
Reproof for correction and for training in righteousness. Oh my word.
So all scripture, there was no other, the epistles of the New Testament, right? All the writings had not been compiled yet.
Right.
When Timothy wrote this. So what was he talking about?
He talks about those things and he says, and he wants you to read them in verse 17 because this will make a man of God adequate.
Complete.
And
clearly equipped.
For every single good work.
That's why that's the answer. That's the
answer.
Okay, so there's the punchline. Yeah. How do we get to the punchline?
That's
right. Where's the process in between? And maybe we can get a hint of that from Moshe.
Well, I think you're going to get to Moshe's too. Let's see if it lines up with Timothy, because he writes it in 4. Okay,
yes.
So he says this. So I'm going to charge you in the presence of God and the Messiah. I'm charging you to do some things. Verse 2, preach the word. What?
Preach the word.
So stand up and give a testimony.
The hope that you have.
Like out loud?
Out loud.
With another person?
Yeah, with another person.
Oh.
Be ready in season and out of season.
Mm-hmm. Like all the time.
Reprove. Oops. That means you have to study scripture to be able to reprove.
Yep.
Rebuke, exhort. With great patience and instruction. For time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Who is they? Those revilers. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And will turn away their ears from truth and will turn aside to myths.
So they will flock to places that'll tell them what they want to hear.
Yeah.
Make them feel good about themselves.
Yeah.
Instead of preaching truly preaching the word, like Paul said, to preach the word, be ready in and out of season.
Sounds like they were trying to tickle little Timothy's ears, you know.
Well, yeah.
Poor little Timothy.
I know.
Good thing he had Paul there, huh?
Good thing.
We all need a Paul. We all need a mentor.
We do.
We need someone else to come alongside us when we're maybe we're too youthful, think we know too much, maybe, sort of.
Well, youthful can be youthful in the Scripture.
Yeah.
Youthful can be, I just now started to learn Scripture. You know, Paul talks about us all being babes.
Well, we got to start somewhere, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, we never arrive in this, you know. We'll never arrive. There was one that arrived, and he laid his life down. So, man, but we've got to be ready, don't we? Each and every day. Because people are going to see that peace that you see that's on your face. Because as it changes, they're going to see a lot of peace that people aren't going to have peace, I think, overall, are they? You're going to see despair on their faces, maybe.
So is your first step that you're talking about in order to quit thinking that you're God or have all the answers is to be humble enough to allow Him to bring peace through the Messiah into your life. And then now you have peace through the covering of Yeshua.
You're filled with Yeshua. Then when you're filled, what happens? When you're filled to the full, what does it do? It spills out, hopefully.
So you have to stand up.
So we have to stand up and let our light shine. And
He says that in Matthew. You're to be a light upon the hill.
Yes.
A salt on the earth.
And not cover it. Like cover it under a bushel. No.
No.
I'm going to let it shine.
Yeah.
See? And, the enemy wants, he doesn't want us to share the hope, does he? He wants to get us into a place where we just, like we started this show, we question, where is he? He seems pretty silent to me.
But if we share, we might find out that he's not silent. Is that what you're saying? Like if people gave testimony.
Mm-hmm. I mean, testimonies, what you just said, so important. Because that testifies that he is not silent.
Well, you ever notice, I mean, like in the last couple Sabbaths at the fellowship, we gave a bunch of time for people to give testimony.
Yeah.
And people were encouraged by testimony. How often do we actually spend time giving testimony to our neighbors? Would you be my neighbor? Hey, let me tell you about what God's doing in my life.
He's changed my life.
Let me tell you why.
He gives me a reason to live.
Yeah.
See? And a lot of people don't really have, they don't have that purpose. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, they just say, what difference can I make?
Yeah.
And don't you believe, for Yahweh's people, that's what our adversary wants us to believe?
I have no purpose. You have no purpose and lives aren't being changed.
You know, my life has fallen apart and, you know, he wants, but boy.
Maybe that's the reason why. You know, like Paul still talks to Timothy about you're going to have other teachers that want you to follow myths.
Yeah.
Okay? And notice that we have a lot of New Age type teachers
who
say, hey, if you get into the yoga stance, you're going to feel peace.
Yeah, you meditate. I don't know what they're meditating on. I really don't.
Yeah.
That sounded an awful lot like a snake.
Or if you follow the way of Buddha, you'll feel peace.
You know, everybody's searching for it, aren't they? Everybody's searching for that shalom, that peace.
Yeah.
That only, that path that passes all understanding, that only come. I told my grandkids, outside of Yahweh, Yeshua.
Okay, but what happens?
You're not going to have true peace and fulfillment.
So how do I
gain that?
Thank you.
How do we gain that?
Mm.
Well,
I think you're sensing something.
What do you got, Ron?
Where are you going? I'm going to the Psalms.
Okay, I love the Psalms.
Let's do this because I was just given this morning as I woke up.
Okay.
Okay?
Psalms what?
42.
I love 42.
Okay. Oh, my word. How do we get peace? How do we find it? Okay.
He is our peace.
Now, notice here, David writes this, okay?
As a deer pants.
As a deer pants for the water brooks, my soul pants for thee, O God.
Mm.
Okay, so we all know that everyone's looking, right? They're trying to find God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Where is he?
Where is he? Exactly.
Okay.
Is he asleep?
These things I remember, I pour out my soul within me. Oh my goodness. There's things here that go on. He says, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. These things I remember. I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng, the revilers, and led them in procession to the house of God, with the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Oh, so he used to do these things, but he lost those things, and now his soul is longing. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why have you become disturbed within me? And he tells his soul this, hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me, therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan. Okay, so you catch on to some of these things?
Mm-hmm.
You were talking earlier about history.
You got to know history.
So I need to remember.
To remember, that's the key.
Souls. I also need to remember to praise him again. Okay, so David, the Psalms are written here to praise continually.
Yes. May his praise continually be in my mouth.
So Paul is reminding little Tim, hey, you need to remember these things. Mm-hmm. Remember that there was these things happening. Deep calls to the deep at the sound of thy waterfalls. All thy breakers and thy waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and a song will be with me in the night. What is his loving kindness?
The prayer is my life. The prayer, his loving kindness is better than life.
And his loving kindness endures forever.
Forever also.
Okay, so what's the longest chapter in?
176. In verses 119. 119.
119. And it says his loving kindness endures forever. And it goes over and over, and it includes his commands.
Yes.
His statutes. So I think his loving kindness, personally, I don't know what you guys think, is his commands, his statutes. He's lovingly kind enough not only to promise that the Messiah is coming, but he surrounds us with rules that we can follow that put our lives in order.
You know, his commandment is a lamp
unto your feet.
Yes, and a light to my path. See, his word is a light. His commandment's a lamp.
Mm-hmm.
So, boy, and we know his word is truth. What is truth? His word is truth. See? Yeah, and I tell people, does truth ever change? If it was truth back then, does the truth change?
No.
No. Truth, if it's truth, it's always truth.
Gus is getting all excited.
Gus,
over there.
What are you sensing?
I'm stewing on stuff. That's why I've been quiet. I'm looking up.
Stewing?
So, yeah. So, why don't people take this thing that was written and has been sold billions and billions of times, more than any other book?
Yeah, by far.
So far over history, that's endured all of history. Why don't they want to follow it? And I'm wondering if it's partly because of, okay, we talked about them being accountable. And if I'm accountable,
that's a big part.
I become uncomfortable. I'm centering around this word comfort. Because even Timothy talks about it, Paul talks about it to Timothy. And in 2 Colossians 1, 6, and 7,
2 Colossians or Corinthians?
Corinthians.
Uh-huh.
2 Corinthians.
I love the dog.
I love
that guy.
The Trumpster.
Trumpland.
So this whole aspect of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to be out of my comfort zone. I like my little paradigm. I like to know what I know. I like to think I'm right because that's comfortable.
Well,
I think that's a reason why we don't potentially go towards something else.
Well, I'm content right where I am in my salvation. I don't need any more, see?
Or lack thereof.
But I don't know about you guys. I'm hungry for, if I'm missing something, I want to know about it, don't you?
If you're comfortable, are you hungry? No, you got plenty to eat. You think you have plenty.
Okay, Moses, let's go back to your example. Would Moses have been comfortable without his people, his congregation?
No, I don't think he would have been comfortable.
Really?
That was his mission.
But yeah.
Otherwise, wouldn't he have just said, you know what, I'm heading down the mountain. Go ahead, get rid of him.
I'm going to leave these people.
Yeah,
I'm
but I mean, he wouldn't have. But before he grew in Yahweh, do you think he would have been more comfortable? He did. He left. He thought he was called to a mission to rescue Israel from Egypt. They questioned him, made him uncomfortable, he left. So let me give you an example.
Okay.
I thought for years I'd be more comfortable because I started, you know, working as a pastor, right, and I had to deal with all the problems within a church.
Right.
So I left. I thought I'd be more comfortable at home. I had a nice little time by myself.
A nice little war room there.
Yeah, and I kept on having this feeling that, you know, that who am I feeding? Well, myself, and I feel very comfortable. And now I'm stuck in another position where I'm actually helping out establish with many other people another fellowship, and it's more of a headache.
Yeah, there are more problems, more people.
And I'd actually be more comfortable by myself.
For a while.
For a while.
And that's a different kind of comfort. I think it's the comfort that...
But do we need...
I think a little of that's
okay. Do we need the challenges? Do we need the uncomfortableness to grow us, is my question. Because where I'm starting to move now, mm-hmm, mentally, is I'm starting to realize that every person is a child of Yahweh. And when I look at them, I have to look at them differently.
Mm-hmm.
I can't look at them like, oh, well, you aren't a person I would normally not get along with, therefore I don't want to talk to you. No, I have to talk with them.
Okay? Even if it's uncomfortable.
Even if it's uncomfortable. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know people many times will go to a church or a fellowship or even a group of their own, and they might leave that group because they're uncomfortable with someone or mm-hmm. something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where I'm going with this is that maybe the Lord's challenging, like he challenged Moses. Here, I'm giving you all these people that are a pain in the rear end.
Yeah, they're arguing. Well, you take your people. No, they're your people. They're not my people.
Yeah, you take them. No, I don't want.
All right.
I mean, but he had to grow.
Yes.
Paul's having to grow. Timothy had to grow.
And do you think you grow when things are easy?
Not so much.
No.
In fact,
I think Paul grew when he was in chains.
Likely we grow, but we potentially grow so comfortable that we grow away from the creator of the universe. Because
we don't need him.
Yeah, everything's good. We're all good.
Yeah.
What does he say? Whom he loves, he chastens?
Sure, that's in James.
Yes, see, whom he loves, he chastens.
James 1.
So man.
Do we really think, I mean, seriously, the creator of time itself, who is outside of time, that he didn't know what Moshe was going to ask or say? Of course he knew.
Yeah.
Of course he knew the situation.
So he knew it was coming up.
He knew that here are an infinite number of possibilities of what's going to happen next, and I know all of them. Let's see which one Moshe chooses. And so in our example of how to move forward, I heard you saying earlier, you know, a boldness. We have to be willing
to stand up.
To preach it.
Share it.
And talk. He approached the supreme power of everything, anywhere, anytime, ever.
He stood up.
And he said, why are you angry with him? Well, that's kind of almost a stupid question, isn't it?
I love it.
But isn't that great?
And Noah stood up and said, I'm building this ark anyway.
I'm going to do it. Paul stood up and said, hey, Timothy, you know, little Timothy, we're going to help you understand here.
Yeah. Why do you have that accent down softly good? I mean, what did you do in your youth that caused you to...
Oh, were you in a play or something?
I fell on my head. What was it? Too many hockey pucks to the brain.
Is your background Irish?
No.
Really?
No, Swedish and Bohemian. It's kind of a...
Bohemian?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I don't know, what would you call it? Sauerkraut and lefse all together. No, I just Timothy. It just seems like a Scottish, Irish kind of name.
Yeah,
but here's, you know, little Tim. Well, he may not be so little, but he's new in the faith.
He is.
And here's this mentor, this guy that memorized. I mean, think about it. Memorized all of Torah.
He would have had to
whole
verbatim.
Thing.
Yeah, he knew
where he was at.
This is a man that follows Torah, that lives it, that believes it, breathes it.
Yep.
How can he then be held up by some to say, he did away with all that stuff? You know, even Paul's saying, hey, you don't have to do this stuff. What, follow the instructions of the creator of the universe?
But he didn't do it. We just read in 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Hey, Tim, all scripture is given.
All scripture.
Yeah.
Not some of it. Not just a little bit at the beginning or a little at the end. No, all of it.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
It really is.
If you want to become, hey, let's see if we can pick this guy up. Let's see if we can put him back in here. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys, and who are we talking to?
I love this new Irish Hebrew Root Show.
Yes, yes sir. How are you, Robert?
Are you there?
Why? There's an interfering signal here.
There we go. Okay, we're starting to get you now. Or there's a delay.
It's still interfering, but there's another radio signal coming in.
Okay, let me see what's up here. Let's see if we can bring him back in.
Huh.
Three? I don't think that's the cause. You are getting which station? Let's hang him back up. Program 3, 3, 3. Okay, well, we will talk amongst ourselves right now. Gus, take it away. I'm going to look at my directions.
Oh, you want me to? Am I on? I'm on. And you're going to look at directions. I was going to look at directions. Rick, it's a monologue. Go, buddy. Okay, so let's go back to what we were talking about. How do we make this real? How do we take little Timothy, and we take Paul, and we take Moshe, and we take Noah, and we make some relevance to our life? Aren't they just old stories, Rick?
They are stories, but there's much learning to be made through these stories.
So you said learning, and that reminds me of Charisma Magazine. Now, this is why it reminds me.
Okay.
Back in 2013, Kenny Luck had this article that he wrote, said, "Do you think you know better than God?" Kind of fits in with what we're talking about. And here's the point. He says, think about this. A mom says it to a naive child mesmerized by a red hot fire. You can kind of see where that's going.
Sure.
Tiger Wood addresses you on how to get a lift from the golf ball on a sand trap. B.B. King shows you a trick to get the guitar sound you just want. Or maybe Bill Gates says, "I have a new technological idea." These are all things that give you greater knowledge. So in the face of greater knowledge, isn't it our way to listen and say, "Oh, okay, this transcends my own knowledge. Wouldn't I be a fool not to listen and embrace that other information?"
Yeah, I mean...
Okay, so why don't people... That's what drives me nuts. Why don't people do that?
Why aren't people teachable? Why... I think we just said it back a few minutes ago. People are so comfortable. They are so they're so comfortable in their salvation, and they feel like they don't. Well, I think it goes back to accountability adjustment. Is he on now?
Let's see if we can pick this up. Hey, Robert, are you on with us, or is there still interference going on? Yeah, I still hear your interference. Hey, can you write us an email note or text us, and I'm going to still keep working on you.
It was all fake.
Wow. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Is that it? Okay. Hey, Robert. Robert DeBruce. You can try calling us in once again and see if we can pick you up. Okay, I'd be interested to see if it works.
And that number is 5,035,891,220 or
503-589-1220. Let's see if we got it. All right, hey, we're coming up to a break. Hopefully we've inspired you to ask some questions and find some solutions for us when it comes to finding out, how to not follow this path of thinking that we know more than God and making a difference around us as our world seems to be revilers of the truth and mockers of God and mockers of
lovers of self.
Lovers of self. Mm-hmm. How do you stand that? Are you able to stand up with Timothy or with Moses or with Noah and make a difference around you? What do you think?
I think we need to practice our Scottish accents. Listen like little Timothy did to Philip.
Boy, you got me really going.
Yes. It was good to hear Robert's accent, too.
Yeah, right? Hang on tight.
listening to Hebrew Nation Radio, a division of Torah to the Nations.
We'll be back.
We are back. You are on with the Three Wise Guys here on Hebrew Nation Radio. We're so happy to be here trying to figure out life.
And we did figure it out. But, I mean, the wise
we
guys...
We solved it.
We figured it out.
Oh, I hope somebody's listening. We needed to solve life.
Yeah, and the life that we had to solve was getting the phone line to work again from Mr. Robert, who is calling in to us. So please try again at
503-589-1220.
Yeah, we've got it fixed.
We did.
Fixed it. So, yeah, we should be able to receive your call with no interference. Speaking of other fixes, do we have it fixed on how we can work in a world that seems to be making fun of believers in God and Yahweh, and they're revilers of truth, and they want to step on the scriptures and step on the Bible and say there is no God, that we need to make false gods, and it needs to be ourselves. Yeah, we have it solved. It'll be ourselves. I mean, how do we stand up in that kind of world? Are you able to come up with any conclusions?
I think initially you just have to be a lighthouse. They just have to see that we are a little different than they are. And when they see it, they will, I believe, begin to ask us.
And we may not even see the results of that.
Oh, usually we don't, right? Usually we don't. We just plant little seeds, do a little watering or fertilizing.
Well, we want the reward.
Well, we all want the harvest. I get that.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you don't get the harvest. You just get a little watering, a little seed planting. And when people see it enough... I really believe if they're searching, they will, if they're really searching, he will show himself. And that's why I tell people, if you don't believe there's a God, just ask the Father, Yahweh, if you're there, reveal yourself to me, and I believe he will. Ron?
Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. The help of my countenance. Vindicate me, O Yahweh, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for thou art the God of my strength.
Sounds like Psalms.
Yes. Yes.
Psalms, the end of 42 and into 43.
Yes.
That's what David decided
Love
to do.
Love the Psalms. Man, they just lift you. Yeah, but even though he was running at one time, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, and David was running from...
Speaking of which, what did Paul tell Timothy? Run the race.
Run the race.
Run, Timothy. Run. Life is like a box of chocolates. Run, Timothy.
I fought the good fight. Timothy 4:7. I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which is Yahweh, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. I love that.
And how do you fight? He says, even back in chapter 2, 2 Timothy, also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules.
You got to follow the rules.
So it is.
Same as in his word. There's instruction for his people. We've been taught that they no longer apply.
But that is a
pernicious lie.
Yes, it is.
That is a deadly lie. And that's what the enemy wants us to believe. Oh, we can just lead our life the way we want. If you believe, you're okay. Yeah, that's the beginning of it. We know Satan, Satan, he believes and he trembles. But It's, if you love me, you will keep, you will do what I do, you will follow my commands. And when he said that in John 14:15, there was only one set of commandments, and that was the Old Testament. So just some things to think about. Study it out yourself. If you don't believe that what I just said is true.
I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I do too, but there was a time that I believe, well, that was for them. See, mm-hmm. I really, and probably you guys did too. I don't know. All I have to do is love the Lord God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love my neighbor
as myself.
Yes, and if I do those things, and that's the answer I get. You know, love him and love your neighbor, and then that's all you have to do.
Those things are broken down.
Then you break them down.
We have practical things where the Lord tells us, don't be a drunkard. Why would he tell you not to be a drunkard?
Well, because he knows it's not good, because our mental health is compromised whenever we over-consume alcoholic beverages or any other kind of medication or anything. We just got to be careful, don't we?
So he tells us not to commit adultery. Why do we do that?
That's right, because it
ruins the family.
It breaks up. That's what I told my grandkids. That's the reason.
He tells us not to worship any other god but him. Why would he do that?
Because he knows there is no other god, and they're all false.
They're all false. He tells us not to lay down with the same sex or one of those things. Why
all those things.
That?
I mean,
it's to help us. It's
because he knows it's life for us.
Yeah.
It's life for our bodies. It's when you do these things, there's a blessing, right? Even though everybody's doing it, it's okay now. No, it's not. That's a lie. That's what I told my, what was the first sin? What did the serpent tell Eve? Oh, Hava. Oh, yo, you can, when the day you eat that, you'll be just like God. You won't surely die. See, that was the first, and
so who actually sinned first? Was it Adam or Eve?
Well, he sat there.
I think it was Adam.
He sat there idly. He sat there passively.
He didn't protect her.
He didn't. Eve, away from this tree. We're not going to come near this tree anymore. He didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to this day, us men, I'm talking about,
are passive
in our role to love our wives and love our families
and
as
protect
Christ. Loved his people and gave himself on her behalf.
So if Adam would have been protected,
if he would have said, Eve, Hava, get away from this tree, we're not going to go near it.
He'd have gotten out his skill saw, he'd have got his hammer and nails, he'd have cut down some of those other trees, he'd have built a big old wall, he wouldn't have had to go to Congress to get $3 billion, and he could have helped protect her.
But he didn't do it, so we're left. So now it's up to us not to be more like the second Adam, the perfect one that fulfilled his purpose. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to acknowledge what you were saying, because you started off with said, men, what's happened to this society? Not only have we become revilers of truth, but men have been down so much.
They've been put down. They've been,
that they are not standing up according to the truth and being willing to be a Moses or a Paul or a Noah or a Timothy.
Yeah.
You know, how would you encourage someone, Rick, to start making a change in their household?
Well, just start. I think, you know, I think it's paramount every day that we need to arm up, don't we? Mm-hmm. And if we can get our wives and our children, even just for 5 minutes, to read a little of the scripture, have prayer with your family, and start the day off, you know, in his word and in prayer, just talking about the things of Yahweh. That is the beginning. That is the beginning. You don't have to take an hour or a half hour. Start off with just a few scriptures and just talk about it and pray and dedicate the day to Yahweh. And when you begin to do that, I really think our families will begin to walk as he's called us to walk. That'll be a beginning.
I think the beginning you struck right on it. I don't have to wait until, let's find time. No. The second your eyelids start to come open in the morning, guess what? Start the conversation.
There you go. Speak to him first.
Yep.
In order to help you get cleaned up a little bit, I think. I think men we've gotten kind of dirty over the years.
Yeah.
We haven't brushed our teeth enough. You know, when you wake up in the morning, you got that morning breath.
I don't put on my roll-on quite. Get that? No, I won't say it.
No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. So does that substantiate what you guys just said? If Paul wrote this to Little Tim, okay, and he said to him, hey, before everyday life begins, put the armor on of God.
Day in and day out.
A soldier doesn't entangle with everyday life. Typically, men, we all wake up, we turn on the news. So I'm getting entangled in everyday life.
Or these days, everybody within a minute and 47 seconds, the average is waking up and looking at your dumb smartphone.
Seriously?
Yeah. A minute and 47 seconds.
That's a correct stat.
I don't fit that.
And I'm working not to. It's like, I'm not going to be one of those sheeple. So I turn it over upside down. I've got the digital wellness thing. It turns it black and white. It shuts it off. It makes it so I don't even need to look at it.
Wow. Does that mean Siri is not even listening to you?
I don't have Siri. I got the other one.
What is the other
Trinity?
One?
The other one's, yeah, I've got Trinity. Hello, little Gus. It's time to wake up this morning.
Read the word.
Yes, yes. You know, we need to be intentional.
Yes. Day in and day out.
By second, by hypersecond, little second, nanosecond.
Yeah, man.
So what do you think would happen if men in general were intentional?
We could really make a difference in our world.
Really?
Yeah. We really could. I mean, if men would unify, like there's something going on in California in the schools right now that they're teaching this stuff, this sex ed stuff from kindergarten to 12th grade. And these ladies are trying to stand up and make a difference. Mark Call, maybe some of you heard that interview with those ladies that are trying to, but can you imagine if 100 men of Yahweh stood up and, you know, said, we're not going to have you teach this to our kids. Not going to happen.
Let me ask the question. World War II, what if the men hadn't stood up?
Yeah. It took a while for men to stand up.
It took a while.
It actually took Pearl Harbor before we actually got enough backbone to actually make a difference.
Maybe at the political level. I think there was a lot more of a groundswell moving and say, come on, let's get this show on the road. We got to protect people here.
Well, and there were men that were embarrassed that they weren't, you know.
Yeah.
They felt very uncomfortable. Here we're at war, and I'm sitting here. I need to go fulfill my duty.
Yes, and how much bigger of a war do we have? Because we know it
exactly.
It's wrestling with those spirits, those...
Men, if any of you lack wisdom, let yourself ask of God. And in verse 6 of James 1, let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, being tossed to and fro. Men, I think, have had a trouble understanding what you truly believe.
I know.
I mean, do you really believe what you believe? And are you being tossed by false teachers, like with what was happening within Timothy's church, mm-hmm. or what was happening in Moses' huge congregation with Korach and all those? I mean, people wanted to go with the false one.
Well, and it's still happening today. In some of these mega churches, they're tickling their ears. I'm not saying all of them. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah.
But we have to know His word ourselves. We have
Got
to.
It.
And if we don't, we're apt to be deceived.
We're messed up.
It said, unless the days were shortened, even the elect would be deceived. So, man, I mean, we better, Father, in His strength, never in our own, but we got to do everything we can to do our part. To walk. No, you know, all we have to do is walk today.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry. Tomorrow I'm not guaranteed to get there. So if I can just, Father, help me walk today as Yeshua walked.
Gus, do you think Rick has a passion for men to get up and go in here?
All of his body. I want to, you know.
Love it.
I just love it. Yes, I do.
So you're also saying, I think, in between there that we have to not only be intentional, but be okay with being a little uncomfortable.
Be okay with being different.
Because we are. We're set apart, aren't we, than the world. We are different than the world.
It's okay to be different. And like Paul was asking Timothy, he says, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed of this gospel. You know, and I always wonder with people, do you walk around with your head kind of down going, oh no, I'm kind of embarrassed because I believe in this religion. No one's going to understand me. And I look a little different. I act a little different. Therefore, I'm going to try to be like the world so no one will condemn me.
Instead of saying,
I am
a child of the living God. The creator of the universe is my Father. And man, because of that, I can face today and tomorrow. And to walk, you know, Father, give us that loving boldness.
If we don't look any different than the world.
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Hey, hang on tight. Hey, good morning, Mr. Robert. Are you there with us?
I'm here.
There he is.
And can you hear me now?
Yes. No other signals interfering.
Fantastic.
Hey, so what's your question or comment for us, dude?
Well, I came in late today, so I wasn't really sure what the topic was.
We're talking about what do we do in a world where the world believes that they know more than God? I mean, can you make a difference within that world? And maybe it's we ourselves who believe that we know more than God. And we were using examples of Timothy and Moses and Noah to go with those examples. So how do we change that attitude?
How do we change that attitude? Well, I don't know. I think religion, depending on what churches or other religious things that we've been in, I think that's kind of taught us all that we need to know about how to behave and how to be a model person for God, at least within those systems of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if it's something apart from religion, and essentially the societal religion of politics that allows us to be conformed to God through just a personal relationship with Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to answer more succinctly your question, I think we have to get out of the boxes that we have been programmed in terms of religion, be it Christianity or otherwise,
mm-hmm.
and come into a more engaging relationship personally with God, but also with our neighbor as ourselves. So, you know, in the New Testament, Jesus would teach. He would have moments where he would teach and impart knowledge, but then he would go out and he would show how that knowledge was to be imparted through deeds. So he would instill faith, but then he would do faith. And I think a lot of our walk does not tend to engage as much because we're so comfortable in our circles.
Yeah.
So we might do the occasional church mission during the summer, or we'll have missions teams do the work for us. But I don't see the church as being as engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be there's, you know, people who are of a different background or who have walked away from the church, they're not comfortable going back into that setting.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we reach out as believers to those who are not comfortable in a church setting?
Okay, so Robert, let me ask you this question. Can I replace church with people? So can I actually say, are we uncomfortable being with people? Are we uncomfortable doing within people rather than blaming it on a church? Because a church body is people, right? So why do people think they can do outside of something that they haven't done in? I mean, we're very good at pointing out what we don't do, okay? Like when we're in a church body. What makes us think that we'll do any better outside of that church body?
Well, because you're engaging so that the Holy Spirit will make a change. It's not up to us. But the idea is that I'm not trying to say that, you know, churches are by no means, you know, wrong in what they're sincerely trying to do.
Right, right.
It's just the idea of reaching out as a church, not, you know, and engaging with people so that the Holy Spirit can do His work.
You know, Robert, I really like what you were saying. You moved transitioned from church as kind of a corporate thing, a religious system, and those, you know, those instructions that give us a foundation, etc. And you moved to more personal. And to me, that's where it really resonates. Do we forsake fellowship? No, absolutely not. But each and every one of us individually, it's our own journey, and our own journey has to start with getting closer to Him, and that getting closer to Him is looking at His words and saying, okay, here's what I understand. Now, I go rub up against other guys. Like, mm-hmm. I have the absolute blessing and pleasure to do almost every Tuesday with the two guys sitting here with me now, with Rick and Roland. And we take that information that He has either given us or that we've read,
And now we chew on it with others. We wrestle with it, just like Yaakov, mm-hmm. Jacob wrestled with Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, and, you know, there's definitely those, at least in my age group, who are, we're seeking to reach out more. Mm-hmm. There's a ministry out there that a lot of churches are starting to engage in to be able to reach out to those who are unchurched or those who have walked away or from different backgrounds. It's called Q Place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very interesting ministry. It's not inductive ministry of imparting, you know, what we know. It's more of a ministry about engaging through deductive learning processes so that people who don't know the Word of God or don't know Jesus, Yeshua, or don't understand Christianity for what it is, that they can come and seek it out themselves amongst other people of different backgrounds or similar to theirs, and with a group of Christians as well, and really wrestle out the Word for themselves and come to their own conclusions as they dialogue.
No, I totally get it, and I really appreciate it. I guess what always goes through my mind is, I know when I used to belong to a church, okay, why didn't I ever approach the church leaders and say, this is what I would like to do within this church body? Because the Lord's put me in this place, and allow me to do this with your blessing and with your wisdom. You know, why is it always that we have a tendency to leave first, figure things out, and then maybe blame? You know, I'm not pointing to you at all. I'm just seeing this problem because you bring it up, and I think it's a great problem. I think we need to be struggling with the issue. Why don't people become involved? You know,
well, because there, I can say from my walk, I was never given a chance mm-hmm. to be involved. I mean, Maybe in areas where they needed help, and I was fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to areas where I knew that I was gifted in calling to help out in ministry, no one would open the door for me until I walked into a messianic congregation
mm-hmm.
because there wasn't that hierarchical system of, well, we're the pastors and you're just a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, you know, sometimes you have to walk away to clear your head and wrestle with things, you know, and figure things out, because then you'll walk back in and say, oh, okay, now I can approach what I used to believe or you know, who I was as a Christian.
Sure.
Different.
Sure. No, I love it. Thank you for your call, Robert. Man, I just thank you, too, for your patience in trying back with us again. We had to change buttons. So you're on, and thank you very much for calling us.
All good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all
right,
shalom.
Shalom.
Yeah, you know, I say, speaking of buttons, that someday we're going to be replaced by buttons. Robots, right? Replace me with a button.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, the other thing I like about what Robert said towards the tail end there was he implied the intentionality. I may have to walk away for a season, for a time, mm-hmm. or I may have to change the way I do things in order to utilize my giftings. If you're being stonewalled for a reason, whether it's other people, whether it's a system, whether it's your own lack of moving forward, where you're sitting in your house by yourself because you're studying and I gotta do something, but you don't do anything and actually get out there, faith without works is
dead. Well, I think, man, this is a whole nother topic. But I do think there are people that have true giftings given to them from Yahweh. Okay? And it is up to leadership to use them. Paul's mm-hmm. a great example of that. He names all the people that he's mentoring and dealing with. And then he names some other people. The other people that actually leave. Okay? And I wonder if those people actually had a true gifting under the true rules of Scripture and under the true rules of the Holy Spirit. I just wonder that out loud. Because I know many people go, well, I have the gift of speaking, and everyone around them is going, no, you don't.
No.
Or I have the gift of really empathizing with people, and people are going around them and going, no.
Oh, you're a legend in your own mind there, yeah.
But then there are others that are going, yeah, you do. Can you step up? Can you use those?
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine Paul saying, yeah, Timothy, that is exactly what we needed.
Yep.
Go for it.
Folks,
Yeshua is the light of the world.